Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Structure Talk, a Structure Tech presentation. My name is Bill Ulrich, alongside Tessa Murray and Ruben Saltzman. As always, your three-legged stool coming to you from the Northland, talking all things houses, home inspections, and anything else that's rattling around in our brain. Well, welcome to today's episode. That is the third take of this introduction because I'm slightly foggy. Unfortunately, I'm coming down off of a COVID diagnosis, I guess. I tested positive, so my head is not completely clear. Tessa, Ruben, hopefully yours are better. But before we jump into pleasantries, I do want to introduce our guest on today's episode, Joe Schwartzbauer. He's a real estate agent here in the Twin Cities, and we've asked Joe to join us and have a conversation a little bit about the market and to talk about how his business is going in the crazy world of 2022. So Joe, if you can, why don't you take a minute, introduce yourself, tell us your firm, tell us your area of expertise or where you work and all that good stuff.
So my name is Joe Schwartzbauer. I run the Gray Duck Properties team, brokered by Real Broker. Our office is based out of St. Paul. Been a St. Paul resident for a very long time. She just moved just this past weekend to Eagan. So we're going to be trying to do a little bit more work in this area. But been in real estate 8-9 years now. Absolutely love it. It's always fun, always interesting. Really, really enjoy what we do.
Gotcha. And what led you to real estate? I mean, everybody's got a different path. So why did you end up jumping into this game?
It wasn't something I was actually looking to get into. I lived in a condo building and the guys that managed it, I actually got to know them. We, you know, spoke all the time just for whatever reasons, for maintenance stuff and all of that. And that got me very interested. I started working with them, doing some property leasing and some management, and it all just kind of came together.
Joe, what did you do before real estate?
Before real estate, I was in several different sales careers, essentially. We had a family business where we did screen print, embroidery, kind of ad specialties type of stuff. Did that for a long time. Did concrete and asphalt, so I have a little bit of a construction background as well. I currently have my general contractor's license, but we just kind of use that for our own projects.
Well, okay, so let's get back to the pleasantries. Joe, thank you for the intro. I appreciate that. Ruben, Tessa, how are you guys all doing?
Well, I can't complain. I'm sorry to hear you've got COVID, Bill. I'm glad it seems like you're doing okay. Made it through the worst?
I'm fine. I'm one of the lucky ones.
You've had some big changes too at home. Didn't your daughter just graduate high school?
Oh, yeah. Yep. She's out of the nest, currently away now in a summer job for one of the YMCA camps here in Minnesota. So she's going to be a counselor for the year, and we sent her off. Hopefully she is COVID-free too. We've been very diligent. Like, I'm texting her every morning, go get tested. I want to make sure she doesn't blow something up, but she seems to be fine. And so transitioning, I'm an empty nester.
Big change.
Wow. Was it emotional?
It's all gone. All the emotion, the wave of emotion that was leading up to it was incredible. I was just on the verge of tears for a month straight. And once I'm beyond it now, I've been just kind of like clear-headed, stoic, all the things that were triggers for me, like a lot of the songs I remember from when she was a girl, because she sung a lot. She's a country girl. She loves Taylor Swift and Zac Brown, and she's always singing. And any of those songs would be just like triggers for me, and I ended up sobbing a lot. But I'm like solid as a rock now. Not sure what the emotional, psychological side of all of this is, but it was real, and I feel like I've just got a new lease on life, and I'm so excited for her and for where she's going and all the adventures she's gonna take.
My son's 5 years old now, and he just graduated from pre-K and just started a new school in Eagan this morning, or a summer camp anyway. So it's a nice new adventure for him.
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
Soak it in.
Yep. Nowhere near sending him off as far as you, but.
Yeah, soak it in, because it goes by fast. But anyway, let's kind of, Ruben, I haven't heard from you. What, you're just in the background here. Everybody, there's a storm blowing through right now, and Ruben's internet got wiped out. So he's trying to do this from his cell phone. So, well, let's get back to the real estate conversation. Joe, give us the quick market update. Are we seeing some changes now, or is it status quo?
You know, I would, a lot of people are talking about a shift in the real estate world. I personally would not call it a shift. I would call this a normalization. We are getting back to the way things should be. This is starting to feel a little bit more like 2018, 2019. You know, you now have an opportunity to see a couple houses, to have the home inspected, to not have to give up the naming rights of your firstborn child to the sellers in order to win on a home. So things are getting better out there. It's the past 2 years, the pandemic craziness, it's coming to an end. And that's a really, really good thing.
Joe, would you say that's in part because of the rising, you know, interest rates?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, rates can only go so high. And, you know, there was a lot of people out there, say that you were searching for a $600,000 home. And all of a sudden, the rates jumped up. Now you can only afford a $450,000, $475,000 home. Well, those homes are very, very different. And a lot of people don't want to, when they had the opportunity to buy a $650,000, but now they have to buy a $475,000 home, it just doesn't make as much sense to continue to shop for that. So we saw a lot of buyers exit the market, but there is still huge buyer demand out there. There's still a ton of people, as always, that will enter the market and want to buy a home. And, you know, they enter the market, they talk to a lender, they get approved for a loan, they say, okay, this is what interest rates are, this is how much I can afford, let's go buy a house. So it caused a little bit of a ripple for, I would say, a month and a half or so, but I think things are starting to pick back up again right now.
Joe, are the interest rates affecting the mentality of sellers? Are they looking at this like, well, if I'm going to max out the value of my home, I better start moving before things get too high and people lose too much buying power?
You know, it's really interesting what's going on with sellers right now. I think there was and still is a bit of a wave of panic. I think there's a lot of agents out there that are really pushing their sellers to get their home on the market and say, hey, let's take advantage of this while we can. I think we're also going to see something really interesting take place here over the next possible year, couple years, which is we're kind of calling it like rate lock, where people that have refinanced their house over the past couple years and have an interest rate of, you know, 2.5% to 3.5%, it doesn't make as much sense for them to sell buying a new home with a much higher interest rate. So it'll be really interesting to see what takes place with that.
I have always, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know the residential real estate world nearly as much, but I've always thought that as values pop and go down and rates go up and down, it's always just a transfer at a moment in time. It's like there are no real winners unless you're getting out of the real estate game, period. Like you're selling and you're done. And so your values go way up, but when you sell, you got to turn around and buy another house that's value has gone way up. So like, what's the hurry to really move unless you need to move, right? For a job or for whatever situation in your life is making you want or need to do that. How do you feel like? Is that crazy? Or is there really a way to win the lottery in the real estate world?
No, I mean, winning the lottery in the real estate world takes luck. I've been working with clients that have been telling me they're waiting for the market to dip and, you know, correct for the past 10 years. And the market hasn't done that. Trying to time the real estate market is near impossible to do. The best time to buy or sell is literally just when it's right for you. When you've got that big, you know, life event that takes place. You know, you want to get your kids in a better school. You have to relocate for work. You've outgrown your current home. Your kids have moved out and you need to downsize. You know, whatever these situations are, it's all about the life event which causes
it. I tend to agree. Okay, so we know we've been in a wacky market, 2022. Home inspectors especially have seen it. I mean, Ruben's had probably 250 conversations with different home inspection owners, and they're seeing their businesses dipped. What is your strategy as it comes to the home inspection in this market? I have a follow-up to that, but I want to know how you're having conversations with your clients about the home inspection in 2022.
So we work with a transaction coordinating company, and we follow their stats to provide those numbers to our buyers and give them the information so they can make the best decision possible for themselves. So this transaction coordinating company, who a transaction coordinating company writes offers for real estate agents. So a lot of times we're busy, we can't be writing every single offer. So, you know, we enter it into a system, they produce the paperwork for us, we review it, and then our buyers sign it. So they keep track of what is going on in the market. One of the things that they track a lot of is how often inspections are being waived on winning offers. You know, we saw those numbers go up as high as 57% of accepted offers were completely waiving their right to have an inspection. Now, to me, that's insane. I don't think anybody should ever do that. There are certain cases, if you're buying a small condo, that there just isn't as much to inspect, but it's still worth having that inspection done because you just never know. We never, ever recommend to our clients to waive their inspection. We give them the stats as far as what's going on and tell them that they need to make the best decision for themselves.
Joe, if I may, I got a couple questions now. Number one is, you mentioned this transaction coordinating company. I would love to hear more about what this is. This is something I don't think I've ever even heard of before. I would love for you to kind of do a half of a deep dive into what this is all about. And then also, I'm curious, I mean, maybe your answer will explain this, but I mean, you say that up to, you've seen up to 57% of transactions have been skipping the home inspection. I'm curious what size sample that is. I mean, is this a sample of 10 agents? Is it a sample of 100, 1,000? Like, can you elaborate on all of this for a minute or two?
Yeah, definitely. So a transaction coordinating company, as a real estate agent, my highest and best use is being client facing, being out with customers, showing them properties, you know, doing the actual negotiations, not doing the paperwork. The paperwork is something that really slows us down and is the minutiae of this business that nobody really likes to do. So for me, myself, what I typically do is I write my own offers, but once that offer is accepted, I hand it off to my transaction coordinating company. They're making sure that all of the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted. If we need to make any additional addendums or amendments or anything like that to our documents, if we need to write up an inspection request or be sure that the appraisal has taken place or all of these other steps within the process, they're doing that for me because it takes a lot of time, and we would prefer that, and for myself and for my agents, that someone else is doing that. I would prefer that my agents are out showing properties, talking to new clients, networking with other agents, all of that type of stuff. So that's essentially what a transaction coordinating company is. I hope that kind of explains it anyway. It's surprising. A lot of people don't.
No, that was good. Yeah, that was good.
A lot of people don't understand that it takes a lot of time to do paperwork. And, paperwork doesn't make me money. Talking to new people makes me money. So that's where I want to focus my effort anyway. As far as the transaction coordinating company, they write on average about 500 offers per month. So that's about the sample size for it anyway. And we know that that's not a massive number, but 500 for us is a pretty good number to understand what the market is. And these guys work generally in the 7-county metro. So they're really, really big on tracking numbers. They show the number of the offer price to list price and kind of give us a percentage with that. They give us a lot of data to work with that really helps our clients make sure that they can win when they want to win anyway.
Is that data private, or is that something that good folks like Structure Tech could get their hands on?
So the company that we work with, they're called Home Free TC, and they are absolutely phenomenal. They are on Facebook. I would highly recommend looking them up, liking their page. They do it about once every 2 weeks, and for sure once every month anyway, and give out all the data so anybody can go on there and check it out.
Are there companies like this in for other major cities, or is this a national company and they focus in the Twin Cities?
They are a local company, but they do work, I believe, in Wisconsin and Alaska now. So they need to be locally licensed with your local MLS in order to be able to write offers for you. So every major city around the United States has one of these companies, has multiple of these companies. There's at least probably 20 to 50 of them locally here. It's just they're behind the scenes. So, their real estate agents know about them. A lot of other people, even within the industry, don't even know that they exist. The latest numbers that came out, and I'll just give you these anyway. This was 2 days ago that these came out. 42% of accepted offers have their inspections completely waived right now. It's staggering. It's a staggering number. It is unbelievable that there are still so many people doing that in today's market. I mean, I will tell you, for us and for our clients, I would say our number for total offers written or total offers accepted, we're probably more like maybe 5 to 10%, somewhere in there, of clients that have chosen to waive their right to inspection. And I will say we have a lot of other ways that we write our offers with these inspections in order to still protect our clients.
Joe, can you share some of those secrets? I mean, if you, if you're comfortable doing that with our audience, we're curious of how you're making strong offers without having to waive the inspection.
Yeah, I'm an open book. I come from a mindset of abundance, and there is plenty of clients and offers and properties out there for all of us to still win and all of that. So one of the a few of the strategies that we use, one we call an inspection guarantee. And that is typically where we say, hey, we are going to have an inspection on this property, but we're not going to negotiate on any single item with an estimated repair cost of $2,500 or less, $5,000 or less, $1,000 or less, whatever that client, whatever that buyer feels comfortable with. So that gives the sellers peace of mind that we are not going to nickel and dime them to death on all kinds of these, small items. We don't expect them to, replace that GFCI outlet by the sink that's been there for the past 30 years that, we all know needs to get updated, or make sure that all of the smoke alarms are working and all of that. We can replace those things. We're not looking for small items. We're looking for big deal breaker type items. The other way we go about it is simply kind of a pass fail that, hey, we are going to have an inspection, but we're not going to negotiate on anything. But that still gives the buyers the right to have an inspection, and it still gives the buyers the right to walk away from that property, which is very important. I will say it's been very rare in my career that I've had a home inspection done on what looks to be a solid home, and we find something that is $5,000 or more in a single repair. In my opinion, it doesn't happen that often. Most people that are selling their home, and I will say most people, maintain their homes. And they're living in their home, and they kind of understand, for the most part, what is going on in their home. These big, expensive repairs are typically the unknown and the unseen. The fireplace that hasn't been used in 20 years and it's completely deteriorating. And that can be a bit more of an expensive issue. So, that's where home inspections are really important, because it's the unknown. It's the stuff that people just simply don't know about, even while you're living in your home, that's a bigger issue than it seems.
That makes a lot of sense. And Joe, you said it's rare that you come across an item that's $5,000 or more. Is that because you guys have pretty good eyes and ears, and when you're looking at a house, it's not that they don't exist. It's that you've already identified them. You're like, hey, look at that. That looks like it could be an issue type of thing. Or are you just seeing higher quality homes that really have been maintained better than others?
I think it comes from experience, without a doubt. I'm really big on, all right, let's tour a home and we're walking through that home. If those buyers really are deciding at that point that they think they want to write an offer on the home, I'm going to continue the tour, let the tour take place. Once it's essentially over, we've walked through everything, I tend to have a conversation and say, listen, this seems like one you guys are going to want to write an offer on. Let's do another walkthrough. Let's spend a little bit more time here. Let's kind of walk around room by room with more fresh eyes to look at everything again. Because the first time walking through a home, you're really just seeing the visuals of the home, how it's laid out, some of the finishes of the home. And you're typically, at least as a buyer, you're not seeing the finer details. You're not seeing that outlet that looks like it's actually charred behind the curtains over there, or the smaller, the foundation type issues and that type of thing. It's something that I am looking at as I'm walking through the home. but buyers aren't typically seeing it. So, you know, I'm pointing some of that stuff out without a doubt as I'm walking through the home the first time, because it's part of my value as a real estate agent is being able to understand what is solid on a home, what is a concern on a home and all of that. But that second walkthrough tends to be a really, really important step. We actually have a walkthrough inspection checklist that myself and I ask all of my agents to use, simply that is, you know, looking at the perimeter of the home, the foundation, the gutters, the roof, the chimney, you know, check out the furnace, the AC unit, the water heater, all of the items, the breaker box, especially, is that breaker box labeled? Because if that breaker box is labeled with what each of those breakers are, to me, that's always a good indicator that this seller knew a lot about their home and knew enough about their home to understand which breaker controls which area. And if it's labeled properly, that gives me some really good peace of mind about the home. That's a small thing, I know, but to me, it makes a big difference.
Wow.
I love the hacks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just the little things. In fact, I love the inspection checklist. Like, did somebody put eyes on X or Y or Z? And that just makes a ton of sense. But if I could get back to something you mentioned earlier, and because I'm curious how this plays out in the conversation between the buyer and the agent. You said when it comes time to write the offer, you guys almost always recommend a home inspection.
Always recommend.
And right. And I've always heard that that's a liability kind of safety net. And it's even better to offer two or three names instead of one name. So the buyer has agency in this decision. They can make their own decision and move forward. But when people opt out of the home inspection, do you think that's often driven by the agent really saying, hey, we need this to not have any attachments, strings attached to it? Or is it the buyer's just saying, I've missed on 17 houses and by God, I'm getting this one or I'm shutting down for a couple months?
I think it's on the agent. There are far too many agents out there that are saying, if you want to win on this property, this is what you need to do. We do have a document within our MLS that does say, for your protection, get a home inspection. And it is something that, you know, is required for buyers to sign. So, you know, do buyers fully read that document when they're signing the offers and their agent has told them to waive their right to have an inspection? That I don't know, and I totally can't say. I know what we do, and I know it's very, very important that we recommend that people always, always get a home inspection. Yes, we do have three home inspectors that we recommend. And it is, you know, kind of like you said, agency, we want to give them the option with it. And I have an email essentially that goes out that says, hey, these are the top three home inspection companies that we work with. Here's a little insight about each of them. You know, there's this X company and they're the cheapest that there is. They're going to do a home inspection. It's not going to be super thorough, but it's a home inspection. If you're not looking to spend a lot, go with these guys. Here's kind of a mid-level type of a home inspection. They do a pretty good job. A lot of clients end up using them. You know, I can't say anything bad about them. I can't say that they're top-notch either. And then there's Structure Tech, who does absolutely, without a doubt, the best home inspection that there is in the industry and uses some of the most advanced tools and gives you one of the best reports that is available on the home. So you can know exactly what is happening in this home that you are purchasing. And now you can make the best decision for yourself if you want to move forward or not.
Those are very kind words.
We did not pay you to say that, did we, Joe?
No, you did not. Not at all. It's just, it's really true. I mean, I have an email that literally kind of verbatim says that, and you know, where I say X inspection company, there are names for those guys as well. But
you know, I just have one question going back to the transaction coordinating companies that you guys work with. How many agents in the real estate industry here in the Twin Cities would you say use a company like that to help them out with their paperwork? Is it a large portion of agents?
The stats are 10% of the agents do 85% of the transactions. So I would say probably about 10% of agents use them. And it's not something that is required if you're only selling 3 homes a year, 5 homes a year, even 10 homes a year, even 15 homes a year. When you start to sell more properties, it's something that I will say is required in order for you to live a balanced life. and to have time to make sure that you are doing all of the proper things for your clients, because there's a lot of paperwork and stuff can get missed when you get really busy.
Just the things that you're doing for your clients, like the walkthroughs with, you know, your background in contracting really helps being able to identify some of those big red flags up front for your clients and saying, yeah, you know, these are some things that are going to be expensive to repair, fix, or maintain down the road. But, you know, you'd rather be spending your time doing those things for your client than, I get it, filling out the paperwork.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's important to be, you know, focusing on what we're good at. And, you know, I have a background in construction, but I don't want to be a home inspector. That's not who I am. And yes, I can tell people that, hey, if you want to replace this kitchen because it's big, you could spend $30,000, you could spend $60,000, you could spend $100,000 on the kitchen. It all depends on the level of, you know, the finishes that you're going to choose. But I think that with me being a general contractor, that's the biggest value that that has, that I can give them some estimates on what stuff is going to cost to fix.
Yes.
I think, Joe, you just kind of pulled the curtain back a little bit, and I appreciate this because I know where Tessa's going. It's like, well, but this is kind of where Tessa's coming from, and no offense, Tessa, but it's from inside our world, mm-hmm. looking out, like, oh, everybody's going to want to be helpful in the way we are. No, not so much, because in Joe's world, he's working with title companies, mm-hmm. he's working with mortgage companies, he's working with buyers, he's working with sellers. Mm-hmm. He's working with seller's agents, right? There's a lot of balls in the air in that juggling act that you just don't want to take on more than's absolutely necessary. And I think when you partner with a good home inspection company, or at least understand their processes well, you can understand how you can incorporate their processes into your processes to help you eliminate work that would otherwise have to be completed by somebody on your team.
And reduce your liability too.
Yep, exactly. And you know, a lot of it is about liability. I want to stay in my lane and focus on what I know and what my area of expertise is.
Hey, Joe, in this process, where do you spend the most amount of time in terms of vendors who are participating in it? Is it with title agent companies? Is it with mortgage officers?
I would say it's pretty much split equally between, you know, inspections, title companies, mortgage companies. We've got our processes really dialed in. And, you know, after the initial paperwork, it doesn't take us a ton of time anymore. And really that is a thanks to the transaction coordinating company, because they are reaching out at certain milestones to make sure things have taken place. And they're doing that for me.
How long, Joe, did it take you to get all your systems figured out and dialed in and, you know, figure out the companies that you worked with the best? I mean, how long have you been doing real estate? I don't think we asked you that question, did we?
Yeah, I've been doing this.
Well, I think you said 8 years.
Oh. Yeah, I've been doing it about 8 or 9 years now, and it's taken about 8 or 9 years, and it is a continuing process that we will never be finished with. I mean, you know, things change in the industry. Vendors come and go type of thing. We are always looking for the absolute best to work with, to give our clients the best experience possible. And it changes. It changes over time. And we work really hard to make sure we are on top of it and kind of at the forefront of it.
Joe, if you could wave a magic wand and add one thing, for example, I wish my home inspector could help me do this. What would that be?
Might blow you guys' mind here, but I really think that, do you guys know what a home warranty is?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I think Structure Tech should offer home warranties. I think the fact that Structure Tech has walked through the property and understands that property can offer a home warranty that fits that home. And it could be a whole separate business for you guys, because there's a lot of people out there and a lot of agents out there that do recommend home warranties. I actually buy a home warranty for every single one of my clients that purchases a home, because it's a one-year program. It covers a lot of the stuff within the home. And Structure Tech understands the condition of that home and can understand what they think is going to fail in the next year and could offer a warranty fitting for that home.
Yeah, that is a great question, Bill. And Joe, thank you for sharing that insight with us.
Yeah.
Do you use the same home warranty company every time, Joe, or do you have two or three?
There's one home warranty company that has just better reviews than the rest of them. They're called Cinch, and they're a really great company.
Okay. So, you know, going into this, you're not going to get kind of that, the old bait and switch from a warranty company, like, well, that's not covered, or that's not covered. And then this turned out to be a false sense of security when it came to a warranty.
I mean, I will tell you that home warranty companies are a company, and they are going to try and find a reason to be profitable. And they're probably going to try and find a reason to not cover the item. You know, you do have to read the fine print, but for the most part, this is the best one that we found.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask Ruben, if you know the ethics, the SOPs, the ASHI side of it so much better than the rest of us. And to do what Joe is asking, I think there's merit in what he's saying. How does it mesh with just the professional associations and our vow to not do certain things?
There is no conflict whatsoever as far as I'm concerned. As far as I know, this is perfectly fine. Now, one question I do have, however, is that there's a lot of home inspectors who will offer like a 90-day warranty or a 100-day warranty, some version of that. And they just say, this is part of my home inspection. They offer it for free. And the companies who back the home inspectors so they can offer this, they offer these for free to the home inspector in exchange for the client's data. It's basically, we'll give you a warranty if you sell your client's information to us. That's one way it works. Another way is that the home inspector pays for it, and they pay like $10 a warranty or something like that. I mean, it's such a low cost that it's not a huge deal to them. There may be some other models that I don't know about, but I'm just wondering how that relates to what you're suggesting, Joe.
I'm not super familiar with the 90-day warranties that inspection companies are offering. It's honestly, it's not something that I've heard of before.
Okay, Joe, let's do this. Let's just have you answer this question. Do you have to share any data with your warranty company that would be useful? Like, is there an exchange of data for a better price so that company can turn around and maybe profit from that data?
I mean, you know, we have to share obviously the property address, the buyer's name, phone number, email, that type of thing, because they need a way to contact them. They need to send them the paperwork. They need to be in touch through email. So, you know, it's, are they selling that data? I sure hope not. I guess I don't know that for sure. It seems like everybody is collecting data these days.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Joe. And here's where Ruben was going with this. I think I know where he's going with this. There is a large company that started up. They are tech guys that got into the home repair warranty space. And what it appeared to be some data grab. And then they got in trouble with that because people didn't understand what they were going to do. So there's always this little bit of backlash, like, what are people going to do with my data? And I'm not just picking on this one person. As you said, it seems to be what everybody wants, you know, all of the social medias and that kind of thing. They want something useful from you to provide you this really affordable service.
Right.
So I think what Ruben was doing is looking for the smell test. Like, are these people like, you know, like good people, and they're doing the right thing, and they're honoring the warranties as you expect they would, given whatever. Say, I mean, if a furnace is 27 years old, I don't think a home warranty should cover replacement for it personally. Yeah. Maybe your people do.
I mean, most of these home warranty companies, they're going to, prior to replacement, they're going to try and fix it. They're going to try and put a Band-Aid on it for the time being. And the hope is, hey, we put a Band-Aid on it. They bought a 1-year home warranty. By the time that something else goes wrong with it, maybe those clients didn't renew their warranty and didn't go for a second year or a third year or something along those lines. But as far as we know, you know, they're a reputable company. They are nationwide. If you go on any real estate forum and just search for home warranty companies, Cinch is going to be one of the top ones that comes up with some of the best ratings that are out there. So, you know, we back them because we've used them for a long time, and we haven't had negative reviews from our clients anyway.
Well, that's good to hear, because you assume in a free market, the cream is going to rise to the top. People are going to see through the BS. The cheap, you know, home warranty that is quote unquote not really a home warranty, but makes you feel good that you have something in place, right? You can go fight with somebody if you need to. I'm optimistic when it comes to these sorts of relationships that people will do what they say they're going to do. Otherwise, they're not going to be in business for long.
Correct.
And So if this company's got a good reputation, they've been around for a long time, the real measure, the real barometer of any of these types of companies is how hard are they to work with. And if they're a bastard to work with, excuse my French, people are going to move away from them very quickly. So
yeah, I mean, it's a touchy situation. And whenever we are presenting it to the buyers that, hey, this is a home warranty, we're really upfront with them about it. That I let them know kind of what I said earlier, that they are a company. They're going to try and find a reason to probably not cover it, but it is going to help you more than it's going to hurt you is where we go with it. And because we offer it as part of our service, it doesn't cost our buyers anything. So this is something that we're offering to them that is hopefully going to help them out. Cinch actually has a program where if you have a insurance claim at your home, they can pay up to, I think it's $1,200 of your deductible for that insurance claim. So that's a right there is a really, really great little bonus for it. We really like the company, and I think it's a good value add as far as something that we're able to provide to our buyers.
Well, I like this conversation. I think it's something we should sort of mastermind around a little bit more to figure out what this could actually look like and all the ins and outs. I mean, it raises more questions than it does answers. But Joe, before we wrap, I want to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about the networking group that you're setting up. And if that's kind of confidential information, I won't go there, but I certainly want to give you the platform to speak about it here.
Over this past year, I have done more transactions due to the agents that I know than I ever have. And I saw a big hole in our industry that agents were, with all the technology that's out there, you know, text messaging, email, that type of thing, agents are not doing as much face-to-face interaction as they were previously. And I want to personally know more agents. I want to speak to them face-to-face. I want to shake their hand. I want to have in-person conversations. So I decided to start putting together a monthly networking group. Typically, we have a panel of speakers that shows up and talks about a topic that is, you know, relevant in today's market. We're doing this once a month. It's on the first Tuesday of every single month at Malcolm Yards in Minneapolis. We have a room reserved in the back. We can hold about 70 people in there. We've had between 50 and 70 people show up at every single one. The most recent one that we had, it was some of the best feedback that I could get. I had three different people come up to me and say, hey, thank you so much for doing this. I just spoke with so-and-so. I've done a couple transactions with them. We follow each other on social media, but we've never met in person. And we actually got to meet and we shook each other's hands and we actually hugged because we felt like we knew each other. And that to me was just really, really great that we are actually getting people together. And it's been phenomenal. I'm really excited to continue to do this in the future and provide a lot of value for agents as well.
I like that. So how long has it been running?
We've done it for 3 months now, and it's just really been phenomenal. It's been a pretty simple thing. We put it out on a few local real estate agent forum pages that people can show up, and it's free. And we want people to show up and enjoy, get some value out of it.
Joe, where would someone go if they're interested in being a part of this to learn more?
They could reach out to me personally. They can find me on all the different social media channels. They can follow Grey Duck Properties on all the different social media channels. I run a Facebook agent only page called the Grey Duck Sandbox. It's a Facebook page that I'm essentially giving away a lot of value, the stuff that's working for myself and my team. We're just trying to elevate the craft of real estate locally here. And if we can all do better together, we can all serve our clients better together. And unfortunately, I think real estate agents sometimes are looked at about a step above used car salesmen. And I'm really trying to change that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Joe, are you including any of the outstate agents that are rocking and rolling too? Because, you know, a lot of successful people down here oftentimes are looking north or west or northwest to find a second home. And sometimes the quality isn't always the same when you get far away from the city centers.
Yeah, this is absolutely open for anybody in the country. We have agents from all around the country in the Grayduck sandbox page as it is. Unfortunately, our networking events, you know, I have my videographer there filming, but we don't film the entire thing. We really want people to show up and be there in person. But, you know, I always have a note taker there. So all the value we can then share later on the Grayduck sandbox page.
You know, for consumers, getting the best agent is really super important because it can make or break some pretty long-term investing that they're going to do in a property or whatever. And I don't mean to say that there aren't great professionals in the, you know, away from the city. That's not what I mean at all. I think there's, it's just making these connections sometimes is a lot more difficult when you're far away and you don't know, you know.
Well,
come down once a month, it seems like.
No, it makes a lot of sense. You know, I mean, when we're building this sandbox is what we call it, because we want to play in a sandbox that is full of people that are doing a really, really great job. And we want to elevate others to do the same. When you are out in smaller towns, rural communities, you may not have the ability to connect with agents that are networking together, sharing the ideas of what they're doing, what is working, what is not working. You know, these inspection guarantees that we're doing. We're also doing items where with those inspection guarantees, I didn't mention this one earlier, but where we are actually saying that, hey, we are going to waive our right to, or we are going to waive our inspection contingency, but we are still going to have an inspection on the home. So essentially what that means is that the buyers still get to have an inspection. But if they choose to walk away from the property, they're going to forfeit their earnest money to the sellers. So that's another option as far as what we're doing. And that's something that, you know, I don't know that a lot of other agents are doing out there. We just have to get creative with our offers to make sure that our buyers are still protected, but can still win on a home.
Yeah, well, that's putting your money where your mouth
definitely
is. I mean, I love it. Okay. So I'm going to bare my soul. I think real estate is a local game. I think people who pick smaller areas and know them well provide higher levels of service just because there's so many nuances to some of this. And so as COVID hits and people are like, well, I could live out in the country as long as I have a high-speed internet thing. Like, having a city agent go out to the country seems like it could be potentially disastrous, but having a city agent who's got a great connection to somebody who's in a rural area who can provide great service together feels like a win-win. So I love networking, and I think getting the best is really what we're trying to do for all clients in every situation. I mean, it's what we try to do as a home inspection company, make sure these clients have all the knowledge they need to make a good decision. We then give it to the agent and say, you guys figure out what you want to do with all of this. We're here to help if you have any questions, kind of thing. But
yeah, vice versa.
I love the networking group.
It's the reason that we recommend you guys. We want to work with the best. And, you know, it's through years in this industry, we've found who the best is. And it's the reason we keep coming back to you guys over and over.
Too, I was just going to say, Joe, it's really refreshing to hear like a real estate agent who you obviously really care about your clients. You see the importance of, you know, educating them in what they're buying, getting the home inspection, and you figured out ways to still protect their best interests and help them win and elevate others in your industry to do the same. And I just have so much respect for that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. If any other agents out there are listening, we're actually looking at growing our team and expanding to other markets and all of that type of thing. Feel free, shoot me an email, joe@grayduckproperties.com. Give me a call, find me on social, all that type of stuff. But I'd love to connect with anybody across the country.
That's awesome. Thank you. And Joe, I know a good building science speaker. If you're looking for anybody to talk about houses at one of the networking events, just get a hold of me. I can connect you with somebody.
We have a couple plans. We have plans for next month, but the month after, we don't have a topic yet. So We are planning on getting you guys in there and having you guys give a really amazing presentation.
Joe, we need to put a wrap on this episode, but can you go ahead and just give out your name, your email address, or your website, or the best way for people to get a hold of you before we put a wrap on?
Best way to get in touch with me, email is joe@grayduckproperties.com, and it's G-R-E-Y. Instagram is TheRealJoeSchwartzbauer. Or Gray Duck Properties on Instagram. Facebook is the same. Phone number, you guys can find that on the internet, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. You've been listening to Structure Talk, a Structure Tech presentation. My name is Bill Ulrich alongside Tessa Murray and Ruben Saltzman. One last thing here before I wrap the show, and I forget to do this all the time, but if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have any suggestions, please send them to podcasts@structuretech.com. Again, podcasts@structuretech.com. That's it. That's the final word. Have a great week. We will catch you next time.
For more information on how we can provide you with the right information about your home before you buy or sell, contact us at structuretech.com.